And then in peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So it goes by quickly. I've learned this more and more. It goes by quickly. Enjoy your children because the time with them goes by so fast. And indeed it does. It does. And truth be told, whenever I hear one of the wonderful people that God has placed in my life tell me these words, I know that it's true. Oh, I know it's true. But I just have to be honest with you. I have a mixed reaction. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my kids. I love them. And I do try to cherish the moments that I have with them. As the soap opera would say, I know the sands of time are ever running through the hourglass, right? But you know what? In some cases, I've just spent the better part of a freezing February day stuck within the same four wonderful walls with these precious, sugar-craving, screen-hungry, question-producing, attention-sensitive, blessed little people, and at the end of the day, I just need a break. I need a pause. I need a moment to collect together just one thought. I'd like just a moment of quiet and of rest. And wouldn't you know it, it's about that time that somebody comes into my life and reminds me of this wonderful sentiment, okay? So I wonder sometimes if that's God's way of trying to test me. So for the sake of confession being good for the soul and not always good for the reputation, but nonetheless, I'll admit, I don't always receive this verbalized sentiment in the best way. Now, that isn't to say that's not right. See, on the flip side, I have had some really incredible moments here lately that confirm this concept as well. For instance, Silas was just walking around a couple of weeks ago, and he goes, Dad, I just turned 7 1/2. And I said, wow, 1/2, huh? Okay, 7 1/2. And then it dawned on me, he's the last of the chain. Wow. Carter is working toward and has now secured an internship in some interesting areas, and he continues to stay connected to his faith life in Christ, which I can only say thanks be to God for. Jack, as you can see, is getting confirmed this year, and wow, as I watch them all grow, I have to give thanks to God for what he is doing in their life, sometimes because of me, but honestly, a lot of times in spite of me. I wish I could kind of look at her now. Kara obviously does an incredible job with them. But if you know Kara, you also know she has her moments with them. So where does the time go? Where does the time go? You know, as last week as I was thinking about this a little bit, I ran across this Chinese proverb, this old Chinese proverb that says, one generation plants the trees, and another gets the shade. I like that. And you know, it just reminds me as I'm thinking about this to cherish the moments. I also think, what kind of trees am I planting right now? What kind of trees am I planting in my kids' lives? What kind of trees are you planting in your kids' lives? And you know, I hope at least that draws us back into Paul, into Ephesians, into God's Word this morning. For if you remember, it was in Ephesians 5:21 that he gave us a verse that I think would unlock some of these more difficult sections, okay? So we're going to be talking, we talked about husband and wives last week. I thought I was in trouble then, but then I have children and parents this week. And then a few weeks from now, we're going to talk about work. But this one verse that Paul gives us, Ephesians 5:21, is, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So in other words, husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and slaves, really reinterpret that, employers and employees, if you will, they all have this call to live and to love out of reverence and respect for the one that lived and loved them. And they each get to embody this call differently, but please pay attention. It is the same call. So how does this flesh itself out specifically in Ephesians 6:1-4 today? Well, it starts with, and so I'll do some heavy lifting with this category. It starts with the kids, okay? Parents, you're off the hook for a second, okay? It starts with the kids. Take a look at Ephesians 6, verses 1-3, okay? It's in your bulletin there. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. I'm going to read this section once again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So the call here is for children to honor and obey their parents. But today we have to ask this question, and I think it's a good one. But why? Well, Paul actually has two reasons. The first one he cites comes from natural law. This is verse 1. In other words, if you were to look at nearly every situation, in nearly every culture from history, and even in the world today, every society stands on the premise that children are to honor and obey their parents. When this is missing in a society, in a culture, it quickly leads to decadence and to degeneration. In fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul even kind of puts this out explicitly, and he says it like this: when we break the natural law, we get broken ourselves. We break ourselves. See, this is the natural order, and it makes sense. And that's why Paul simply says, it's right. But second, we are to give honor and respect to our parents because it's a part of divine law. Now, here he quotes verses 2 to 3. Now, Paul mentions here the fourth commandment, which I'll let the confirmands off the hook, or those of you who are in the process, because it is honor thy father and thy mother. Now, he mentions how this is the first commandment with a promise. That promise being that if it's lived out, then we'll live long in the land. And this is practical advice for notwithstanding, I mean, I get it, There's the fact that many children die every year, regardless of how obedient or disobedient they are, but you know what, that's kind of the exception to the rule. It's yet living with honor and respect toward a society's leaders and family structure generally allows for a longer life. Why? Well, there are several reasons for this. One is that if a child listens and obeys, he or she will be regularly warned from harm's way. He or she will experience fewer accidents, less physical trauma from things such as high places and sharp objects. I mean, you ought to learn right away, you don't run up the stairs with the scissors facing a certain direction, right? I mean, just remember some of the scrapes that you found yourself in as a child. Surely that kind of advice is helpful now to pass on to your kids. Another reason is that an obedient child will be spared the sadness of bad choices and questionable people that they could easily follow otherwise. I mean, I remember some dark times when I disregarded my parents' advice and it ended up running me into law enforcement, ostracizing some friends, longtime friends, and getting myself into a situation where I could have been easily hurt. Yeah, pastors are sinners too. Go figure. Now, the final reason why a child who obeys and respects his mom and dad and authorities will generally prosper is because this child will likely develop better habits and a stronger character. One proverb that every parent loves, I mean, parents, you ought to write this down, and every child needs at least to pay attention to, and I'm going to let you just think about it in your mind's eye. It's Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Boy, put that on your refrigerator magnet, right, moms and dads? I love it. See, whether you're in the elementary school, middle school, high school, college, in the depth of a career, carving out your own distinct path in life, we are called to honor and obey the authorities that God has placed in our lives, specifically parents. And it is a commandment meant to change the course of a young person's life, the whole life of an older person, for the better, according to God. But, you know, this just makes me think, what exactly does it mean to obey the Lord, obey your parents in the Lord? Obey. It's a word we don't like much today. In the Greek, it actually means, the word obey actually comes from a two-part formula. It's one part listen, it's one part under. So when you put them together, it means, obey means, you just simply listen under. Obedience, then, is conscientious listening. It's listening to the words and listening to the life of the people that God has placed in our lives. Now, this doesn't mean that we should follow them into danger or scriptural disobedience. No, no. That's why Paul says, listen to them in the Lord. But we are called to listen to them when things come along that are consistent in Christ. And believe me, because I have a mom and dad too, much of this has to do with attitude. I mean, we've all known, or perhaps we've even been, the boy who ended up in the hallway or in the corner of the room because of something you've done. We have all been the girl so full of herself that she obviously knows. I mean, she's 16 years old, and she obviously knows more than any other brilliant person on the planet. We've all been there. And we've all been the child who's played the little angel on the outside, only on the inside to harbor rebellion and hatred. Like Solomon would say, kids, you just got to know. There is nothing new under the sun. We've all been there. But to honor and respect and love our parents calls for showing them consideration. And yes, you may grow beyond honoring and obeying your parents right now as you used to do, but we never outgrow the call to honor and respect our parents. In a culture where shelving our parents is quickly becoming the norm, you and I are called to honor and love our parents. And I get it. This may be a really easy thing. This may be an incredibly challenging thing for you. But it's the call and commandment before us nonetheless. So that's God's teaching for children. Now, we get to the fun part. We get to go to the parents. That's verse 4. So what is God's wisdom to parents? Well, take a look here. In verse 4, Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, actually, next week, I'm going to talk about one particular section of this verse a little bit. But for today, in general, I believe God is trying to tell us as parents not to provoke our children so that way they seethe with anger like sap does from a tree on a hot day. And you know, believe it or not, I think parents can do this in lots of different ways, myself included. So I think this can be done first by unreasonableness. I think some parents ask way too much of their children. And this happens in many ways. And trust me, I'm all for working hard in academics and doing all those kind of things. I mean, absolutely. But I wonder if this is among many reasons why a lot of kids today are racked with anxiety and fear. Sometimes the demands placed upon lives are sometimes unreasonable. Then there is fault finding. Surely this doesn't happen in your household, right? Trust me, it is easy. It is easy to find the bad, the fault, the deficiency. And this kind of information finds its way into children's lives today by things that are said and social media posts that are made and evaluations that we all go under. And sections like this, I don't know about you, but they always have a way of challenging my own communication. Trust me. What kind of trees am I planting? What kind of trees are you planting today? Now, that doesn't mean there shouldn't be truth. It just means delivery is important, too. Another avenue of hurt that I've seen is neglect. Helicopter parenting is not ideal, but neither is free-range parenting. David found this out all too quickly with his son Absalom. Just read about that sometime. He was hands-off in his parenting with deadly consequences. Lastly, I've seen in my own life how inconsistency really affects a child. Trust me, I've moved lots of times. Moving repeatedly is difficult. The ups and downs of relational instability, job instability, connection instability, they all affect a child. And none of us are perfect parents. And these are but a few of undoubtedly the thousands of ways that a parent can seethe anger from a child. And this isn't about making your world all about children either. I'm not trying to advocate that you be the perfect parent here, because I've also witnessed parents nearly deifying the act of parenting. trying to break their necks, always trying to give their kids what they never had. Less isn't always best, more isn't always better. Sometimes, folks, more is just more. But it's about realizing that a child can be a fragile flower that can easily be crushed if not careful. And children need work and connection and introduction to godly character so he or she can bloom as they were meant to in Christ. And no doubt, this is probably why Paul now closes with a positive admonition that he does. He says, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, by this, I think he means just a few things. I think we should parent in gentleness, and I need to learn this. See, the Greek behind the word to bring them up, the words to bring them up, means to nourish. It means to feed. It connects well with what Paul says in Ephesians 5:29, that a man is to nourish and cherish his wife as he does his own body. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but men are never better than when they are tender with their children, holding their babies, hugging their teenagers, putting a hand on the shoulder of their grown daughter or son. Second, Paul says that we need to be about discipline. Now, I always remember one particular teaching about this, and sometimes, okay, I have to be honest, sometimes I even use it, okay? Punishment. Punishment is often about one person in the relationship. Punishment often comes at the cost of simply inflicting pain. It can be ill-informed, and most of the time, at least my kind of punishment, it's blustery, it's full of clamor, it's heat and fury. Discipline, however, is about making somebody better. It's about forming and shaping and pruning. It's ultimately done out of love for the person and the long-term love of the person. Discipline is harder, man, especially in the heat of the moment. But it produces a far better result. From Proverbs 15, whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. From Hebrews 12, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. See, discipline is meant to produce righteousness, peace, long-term habits. That's what it did for me. And that's what I pray it does for my kids. Last, there is instruction. And instruction literally means to place before the mind. Okay, I'm shooting you a lot here, okay, but just to kind of take this in. Instruction means to place before the mind. And so often that means confronting something. Now, this is what Nathan did for David. This is what Ananias did for Saul. This is what Barnabas did for Paul. Paul did for Peter. No doubt what Lois and Eunice did for young Timothy. This is what Mary showed to Martha by her lifestyle. This is what Jonah did to Nineveh. And then what God did to Jonah about Nineveh. This is what a loving father does. He steps in. He confronts in love, in truth, and in a timely manner. And instruction, when done well, takes two elements: time and thought, sometimes in short supply in my life. But I want you to see something. When solid discipline, clear loving, verbal instructions, and nourishing tenderness appear in concert, then we bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. See, remember, what kind of trees are you planting today? What kind of love and respect and obedience are you showing today? Now, this is a lot to take in, so if any of this pricks your conscience, as it did mine, let's just touch base about something, huh? You are a sinner. So am I. And so by thought and by word and by deed, you have not been the children that God has called you to be. And if perhaps so blessed, you have not been the parents or the mentors or the witnesses to the faith in Christ that he's called you to be either. But the good news is God is in the making new business. He has the power to forgive. He died to pay for sin, set us free from its long-term effect. And he hasn't just called to set us free. He hasn't just come to set us free. He's also called us to be his children. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And so here's the thing that I want you to get today. Your sins are forgiven. Life is made new. And so you can act differently today, and you can respect differently today, and you can discipline and love differently today. Just remember, though, forgiveness is immediate. Trust and relationship takes time. That takes cultivation, that takes patience, that takes consistency. And so I'm a dork. I think like shampoo, lather, rinse, repeat, right? Each day you need to remember this precious gospel, the Father who loves, the Savior who gave his own life for us, the Spirit who intercedes and recreates. And so then you'll be able to feel that love and respect and then give that love and respect. See, the raising of children, the caring for parents, that only lasts so long. And soon in both cases, we'll no doubt say, where'd the time go? Yet in Christ, may we be able to look back and look today with real redemption and real joy. Thank you, God, for these enormous blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise together.